The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'll give you some Straight Talk. I'm in a shirt and tie right now, running all around like a chicken without a head today. Down at the seaport doing First Take. Rushed to do radio, got Max on boxing at special time, 5:30 p.m. live after the Lomachenko-Lopez weigh-in for Max on Boxing tonight. That's a half hour later than it normally is. So I show up to the radio in a shirt and tie. I don't know. It seems to me like it's not a good look for radio. What are you getting all dressed up for the radio for? So I have to give an excuse right away. Patriots, by the way, are canceling their Friday practice after a positive COVID-19 test, source told ESPN's Mike Reese and Field Yates. There's a second test that they're waiting to confirm is a positive, according to Reese and Yates. Pats are scheduled to host the Broncos on Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. It's a CBS game. This is a game rescheduled from Week 5 after the Patriots' starting defensive tackle, Byron Cowart, tested positive 2 days before kickoff. Meantime, the Indianapolis Colts, it looked like they had an outbreak, but it turns out, apparently, those were false positives. But notice what's happening now. Remember all the talk about there's going to be a second wave or third or fifth or tenth wave, whatever you want to call it. It's going to get bad in the cold weather months, right? Going into the fall, going into flu season, COVID cases were going to spike, especially with the complete lack of leadership and utter irresponsibility and reckless behavior at the top levels of our federal government, politicizing science. The scientists are all telling you the same thing. Wear masks, socially distance, etc., and that's not the message large swaths of this country are getting in an election year by reckless and irresponsible people. And so that the outbreak is exacerbated. Realize we're over 50,000 new cases a day. So we knew this was going to happen in the NFL. And the NFL, to my view, did not present a grown-up idea. Hey, here's an adult policy, right? Like the NBA was mostly done with their season. They shut everything down immediately. Like day of, okay, let's shut it down. They didn't reopen until they had the players and the owners got together. They agreed 20 teams will be invited to a bubble, a single bubble. No one's family is going to come. You're going to get tested all the time. We're actually going to play enough regular season games. There were 7 or 8 games before they could hit their benchmark. I believe it was 72 regular season games so that the local TV revenue kicked in. And then we're going to play a playoff. So we're going to tweak the playoff format, try some things we've always wanted to try anyway, playing games and stuff like that. They crowned a champion. And they had zero positive COVID tests the entire time. Now, they had a lot of things going for them in the NBA. They were almost done with their season. It's a sport with far fewer participants, smaller support staff, all that. And they didn't go through the cold weather months. Baseball watched what they did. They tried to get the players to buy into a bubble. Or bubble four, you know, multiple bubbles. Players wouldn't buy in. They said, we're not going to be away from our families for that long. Okay. The owners eventually unilaterally said, okay, in that case, we're not playing half a season. The players wanted to play at least 82 games, I think it was, so that they could get at least half their salaries. And the owner said, no, we're unilaterally 60 games instead of 162, or the 82 the players were negotiating. Prorated salaries. You don't want a bubble? Okay, fine. But then as the season went on, they said for the playoffs, we got to do something. So baseball, I didn't think had the best plan. And they had a lot of games canceled, postponed, moved around. But here we are deep in the playoffs in the major leagues. Looks like they're going to crown a champion. The NFL had the NBA and Major League Baseball, varying degrees of success for varying reasons. A lot of players on a baseball team, support staff and everything. A lot of players. But it is, as Stephen A. Smith pointed out on First Take, a socially distant sport to begin with. As opposed to the NFL, the defense on every play is trying their best to unsocially distance. They're trying to be socially very close together as fast as possible. Tackle football is no joke. You'd think bad for to play in the middle of a pandemic. By the way, the NHL also successful bubble format. But the NFL owners are so greedy. It's unbelievable how greedy they are. There's an old expression on Wall Street. Bulls and bears make money, or eat. Bulls and bears eat, right? A bull is a bullish Wall Street market's one that's very optimistic, and a bearish one is more pessimistic. And nevertheless, you could both eat. Pigs get slaughtered. I wonder if the NFL isn't about to get slaughtered here. They did not. The players said no bubble. Fine, but what did the NFL ever propose? We're going to have a full season. Okay, you don't want a bubble. Try to exercise personal responsibility as much as possible. It's a numbers game, though. You can be as responsible as you want. Look at Nick Saban. You can do everything right, presuming he did, and still get the disease. The virus is everywhere. Everywhere. 7 million cases in the United States. Over 50,000 new ones a day. And do you notice now, every day we're getting news of COVID outbreaks on teams. I admit the NFL, as I said yesterday, as I've been saying, is way better off and way farther along than I thought they'd be. I didn't think we'd already be past the quarter pole without any games officially canceled. Right? The Steelers said, okay, fine, to accommodate the Titans in the league, we'll rearrange our bye, and took their bye early. And then we had a Tuesday night football game this week. And you would expect things like that. As I keep saying, the perfect is the enemy of the good. It's not going to be perfect this year. But here we are, entering the cold months, and the weather really hasn't turned yet. And every single day, we're getting another COVID outbreak story on a football team. You could be as careful as you want. You could be as careful as the odds are against outbreaks not happening and spreading also, because remember, you can get tested. As a matter of fact, sometimes with the tests, you can get false negatives, which I thought was not possible, but because the virus hasn't replicated enough in an individual yet, right? But it's in the process of doing so, so the test doesn't pick it up. But in fact, not only does the person have it, but later they become, or they are contagious and become contagious before expressing symptoms. So they don't appear to be sick, and they're contagious, and the test didn't catch it. Good luck with a team with over 50 players on each team. And when you add support staff and everything, you're talking about over 100 people in the same place at the same time per team with 32 teams, 3,200 plus people. You are going to get outbreaks. Now, is it possible to get through this NFL season? That's the real question. I thought the odds were zero at first. I'm starting to think it's possible with modifications along the way. I'm skeptical that they can play all 16 games, or that they can do so, like in the playoffs, they can play without going to some at least quasi-bubble formats. But here this stuff is just starting. It's just starting. It hasn't gotten bad yet, according to the experts. That was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Meantime, while we're still playing football, I would like to focus on the games that will be played. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. That's a good game. By the way, the Packers are traveling to the Bucks, and the Bucks are home dogs, but barely. They've had a really good defense so far. Tom Brady has shown flashes, and he has a ton of offensive weapons on the team, though many have been hurt. But it looks like he'll have Mike Evans. He has Brait and O.J. Howard, if not Gronk, right? Or Godwin. But you got enough weapons to make things happen if you're Tom Brady. And the defense has been playing well, and yet they're home dogs. Why are they home dogs? Even the close odds, but still. They're home dogs because of one reason. The other quarterback is so much better than theirs. Aaron Rodgers is so much better than Tom Brady that his team is the favorites. It ain't because of the Packers' defense, people. Devontae Adams hasn't been playing. Aaron Jones has been great. But Devontae Adams hasn't been playing, and none of the other receivers are certainly not name-brand receivers or even especially productive. But between, I mean, it's a league where it's coach and quarterback, right? LaFleur schemes him open, and Rodgers is playing out of his mind. Who does the game mean more to? This game means more to Tom Brady. It means more to the Bucs. Imagine if the Bucs had beaten the Bears as they were favored to do on the road at Soldier Field. Imagine if it was someone else, not Nick Foles. So they don't make that great play to put their team in field goal range when they're trailing. And then, by the way, win. And then over a minute left on the clock. Oh, my God, you gave Tom Brady too much time. Not only does it, they were tough passes, but he doesn't complete on third or fourth. He forgets the down after chewing out his offensive line early in the game. But just imagine if, for a second, that game plays out a little different and the Bucs win and they're riding 4-1 down to the Packers and everyone's talking Super Bowl. Yet that team is an underdog at home because they're playing a Packers team with no defense to write home about, missing weapons all over the place and without a ton of great ones to begin with, but they have Aaron Rodgers, who's playing out of his mind right now. We're going to take a break from talking football to talk about something much more important, the most important franchise in the history of world sports, and that is my beloved New York Yankees. And when they traded for Luke Voit, traded with the Cardinals, a buddy of mine is a big Cardinals fan, liked Luke Voit, wasn't crazy they traded him. Wasn't crazy about that idea, and I was happy to get him. If you looked at his numbers in the minors, he could mash. But predicting that he'd lead the American League in home runs as one of the best hitters on a loaded Yankees offense? Well, I'm happy to welcome now to the Max Kellerman Show, Luke Voit, ladies and gentlemen, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What's going on? You tell me. How are we doing after that very disappointing loss?
It sucked, man. It's a tough feeling, especially being the third row, third year in a row for me. So it's never fun, but it's fuel for the fire next year, and try to get my foot fixed up and get it going for the run we're about to go on. It's always fun, but we got beat and it sucks.
Now, you came up in a system in a great baseball town in St. Louis, second best history in the major leagues, but a distant second best history to the New York Yankees, who have by so far the greatest history in major sports in American history. It's almost embarrassing, 27 world championships. What's it like going from that one culture, which is just about as good as it gets, to going to the most storied franchise in the history of sports? What's that been like for you?
Well, obviously, it was pretty cool, coming up with St. Louis because I'm from St. Louis and, playing for the Cardinals. And, obviously, they have a great history there, which was awesome. And, getting to, play for a team that I used to attend games for was pretty awesome. But, sure. I mean, the New York Yankees are, above and beyond everybody. I think it all is sports, whether it's football, soccer, or, baseball. I mean, 27 is unbelievable. But at the end of the day, the main goal for our team is to win number 28, and we let a lot of people down. And it's been 11 years since we've won a world championship. So we got a lot of work to do this off season and to get where we want to be. But they take care of you, and they do it the right way too. And I love playing the Yankees. I hope I get to do it for a long time.
Well, we love having you as Yankees fans, Luke. This lineup is almost like it's an embarrassment of riches. Everywhere you look, you go like. Well, Urshela is just supposed to be a slick glove, right? And he's filling in for a guy who can rake. But, oh, my God, he not only has a slick glove, but he can rake. And he's like the eighth best player on the team. Gleyber Torres is this phenom young player tearing the cover off the ball last year, when healthy. And Aaron Judge, 52 home runs as a rookie. And Giancarlo Stanton, 59 home runs the same year Judge hit the 52. Everywhere you look, there's a guy who can just mash. And you come in, I'm sure you have great confidence in your abilities, but you were old for a prospect. You never really got the chance to show what you could do, and here you are leading not only the club in home runs, but the American League. Going into this season, what were your expectations individually? For you, I mean, as an individual.
Yeah, I mean, a big thing for me is, obviously I had that, surgery, so I wanted to get healthy, and you know, I think at the end of the day, I think that was something that was lingering for like the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I finally felt great. You know, my back wasn't bothering me anymore. I felt healthy. And my big thing is, like, in the off season, and I guess, you know, after spring training when I was back home, is I was trying to develop more of getting more extension. And, you know, I added some things to my approach. And, you know, I was working on, you know, hitting the ball and putting better spin on the ball. And, you know, that's when my, you know, doubles started turning into home runs. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I needed to have, you know, in the back pocket. And, you know, obviously the biggest thing for me, though, was, you know, working on my defense and getting a lot better defense. And that's why I lost the weight, to get a little quicker around the bag. And, you know, I wanted to pick the boys up, you know, when they made a, you know, a bad throw. So,
yeah, and you're a first baseman now. You're not just like a DH. You're a first baseman. You grab a glove and play the field on a team that, you know, just because it's the easiest position to play, people confuse, or the most different people can play first base, they think it's not important. But, in fact, first base is a critically important defensive position.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you look at guys like Joey Votto, Freddie Freeman, you know, Matt Olson. Those guys are like the prime players at first base, and those guys all are, you know, unbelievable around the bag. And, you know, that's what I strive to be towards. And, you know, I watched, you know, Albert Pujols do it, you know, my whole life growing up, and he was a beast over there too. So, I mean, it's something I wanted to make for my, you know, make me a well-rounded baseball player. And, you know, it's frustrating when, you know, and I took it personal when I was getting taken out and, you know, the eighth inning or ninth inning. And, you know, obviously I was dealing with the foot problem this year, but it sucked and it pissed me off. And, you know, I wanted to get better. And that's why I did everything I can. And, you know, our bench coach, Carlos Mendoza, was great for me. We were always working hard every day, you know, trying to get better at it. And it was good, man.
So it's interesting to listen to you talk about the kind of spin on the ball, because, like, you hear, like, the greatest 1-2 punch in Yankees and baseball history was Babe Ruth hitting third and Lou Gehrig hitting fourth. They both hit the ball really hard, but Ruth had a natural swing that produced the spin that gives you loft. And Gehrig had the opposite, top spin, that produced these doubles. And here we are all these years later, and a slugger like you is thinking, yeah, I'm hitting the ball hard, but I actually have to change the spin on the ball that I'm hitting it with, and you were able to successfully do it. We've come a long way. I want to ask you about your charity. What are you doing with T-Mobile?
Yeah, so T-Mobile has been awesome, and I'm sure you guys have seen the ads and stuff they've been putting up. You know, T-Mobile is donating, you know, $5,000 per home run, you know, to the Little League program. And, you know, if you text Little League to 313131, donate $1 to support a local grant, you know, recipient in your community. So it's great, man. You know, a lot of these, you know, families can't afford, you know, baseball, you know, organized baseball right now. So it's great that, you know, T-Mobile is going out there and, you know, letting these kids play, because, you know, we want, you know, as much of the well-rounded game as possible. And, you know, I remember growing up playing, traveling, you know, having my buddies, you know, always having a great time. And, you know, if it weren't for Little League, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So I want you guys all to, you know, help donate and let the little kids play, and, you know, so we can grow this game more and more and get those kids to the big leagues.
Luke, I want to ask you about Gerrit Cole. For years, I've been very angry at Brian Cashman, because while he's been an excellent GM, he hasn't been the best in the business. And as a Yankees fan, while it's ridiculous to assume your team wins the World Series every year, I think we do expect the team to win more than any other team, certainly more than the Red Sox in our own division, who've beaten us 4-1 since 2004. And one of my big criticisms of Cashman was he was really good at finding, you know, steals, like you or Aaron Hicks, and going back, Nick Swisher and all kinds of Curtis Granderson, and getting guys off down seasons and getting guys for deals. But when it came to pushing his chips to the middle of the table and getting that stone cold ace for the top of the rotation, he wasn't willing to do it, whether it was too many prospects or too much money. Verlander, he lets get away, and Cole originally he let get away, but not this time. He went out and signed the guy to $300+ million. And that dude pitched like a stud when it mattered most. I don't just mean overpowering guys. I mean when he didn't have his best stuff, or when he was a little wild, when his back was against the wall, he figured out a way to get out of it. And now Severino hopefully comes back next year. What is your thought about what you saw from Gerrit Cole and what you expect from your pitching staff next year? Luke Voigt.
Yeah, you know, I said this in the postseason, but Garrett's a stone-cold killer, man. I mean, that's the guy you want. I mean, I would take him over anybody in baseball, you know, whether that's game 7 or, you know, you need a big, you know, win. The dude's unbelievable. And like you said, it's not overpowering. I mean, he's not just overpowering you, but he's dotting his slider. He's dotting his curveball. He's dotting his changeup. I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, everything's coming at you. You know, I've faced him a little bit in live BPs, and it's hard to pick up his spin on his slider. And, you know, the guy, when the guy, there's a lot of guys in the big leagues that make mistakes sometimes with their off speed. Garrett's doesn't make mistakes, you know, like Scherzer doesn't make mistakes. Like, they're executing their pitches almost every time. So, I mean, it's impressive to watch, and, you know, it was even more impressive in the playoffs. I mean, the guy's just punching tickets left and right, and, you know, and getting big outs with, you know, guys in scoring position. But I'm excited to have Sebi, man. It's been a crazy year. You know, you feel bad for a guy that's going through two, you know, arm injuries, and, you know, that guy's just another ace. And, you know, I mean, you guys, all the Yankee fans out there, have seen him, what he can do in the playoffs and, you know, during the regular season when he's healthy. I mean, similar to Garrett, he's got an overpowering fastball with a nasty breaking ball. So,
Luke, before
I can't wait to get them back. You know, obviously we're losing Masahiro Tanaka and, you know, Paxton. So, but we also got a lot of young bucks and, you know, Clark Schmidt and, you know, Mike King, you know, both, you know, did a little bit for us. And, you know, obviously Debbie did a great job too. So, you know, I'm sure the Yankees will go out and do something special, and maybe we add something either at the bullpen or, you know, another starter too. But I like where we're at, man. You know, obviously we just got to, you know,
Luke,
number 28, man. And
Luke,
that's all we want to do. And
Luke, we're before I let you go, I know you're from St. Louis. You grew up rooting for the Cardinals. So just keep in mind all the nice hometown, small town Cardinals type thing right against the big, bad Yankees. It was the Cardinals who gave up hope. They cut you loose, Luke. They gave up on you. But who believed in Luke Voit? The New York Yankees. And who is the favorite son now of New York? It's Luke Voit. You see that, Luke? That's the Yankees. When your hometown team, oh, the Cardinals do things the right way. But they gave up on you. Not the Yankees, Luke. What do you have to say to that?
Yeah, it pissed me off, man.
That's
didn't
right.
Give me a chance. Very, very frustrating. And, you know, I was in a bad place in 2018, you know, going up and down with St. Louis. So for them to give me a chance, man, I knew it might have been my last chance. So I had to do everything possible to work my butt off to get to where I'm at. And, you know, I showed and proved them wrong, man. And it felt good.
That's right. Mashing home runs like it's going out of style.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app. And SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, you can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Job Well Done is brought to you by Napa. Whether you stop by a locally owned Napa Auto Parts, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, if you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. So, obviously, Brady and Rodgers is the big marquee game. We also got Lamar Jackson and the pitiful Eagles. But Jackson and Wentz is interesting. Jackson's struggling a little bit, and Wentz struggling a lot. Not to mention the Browns and Steelers. It's a better, you know, it's funny because last week's slate of games didn't look impressive, but the results were better than we'd anticipated, and the games were more interesting as a result. And this week's games, the slate looks good. I hope it can live up to it. Rodgers, Brady, Browns, and Steelers. I couldn't believe this stat. And Charlie Arnold was in for Molly on Fridays. It's Charlie hosting First Take on Fridays. And brought up the stat that's been out there. I know the Browns have lost, but somehow it escaped me, 16 straight at Pittsburgh? How do you even do that? 16 straight. The league is set up in a way you're not supposed to be able to do that. Because if you're that bad in the division against a divisional rival, it means you probably have a really bad team, which means you're supposed to get top draft picks all the time, which means you can't be bad for long. But the Browns said, forget that. We'll show you. 888-SAY-ESPN. Want to talk boxing now, Raj? I don't know. I'd like to
Well, you tease it, so that's usually how we do it.
Take a little time with it. Take a little time.
You know the radio book that we read? When you tease something,
Vasily Lomachenko. Not really. Vasily Lomachenko. Those rules apply to the others, Raj, not to me. Vasily Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez are fighting tomorrow night. Now, this is an enormous fight in boxing, the biggest since the pandemic. Two fast, twitchy, elite kind of athletic fighters in the same weight class, both in their primes. I mean, Lomachenko, if he's past his prime, hasn't really shown it. And Teofimo Lopez may not even be in his prime yet, but he's certainly entering it with his title-winning performance, a second-round blowout. But the interesting thing to me about this, and you should tell your friends about this one if you're listening, it's on ESPN. There's no pay-per-view, no premium pay cable, no streaming service you got to subscribe to. Just turn on ESPN. You're going to see the best fight you can make at 135 pounds, the lightweight championship of the world, between the dominant champion and his best, most interesting contender. I mean, I know people will say, what about Devin Haney? And yep, that would be excellent also. But, and part of, like, why is it this fight instead of that fight? Well, a lot of it's promotional. In the sense that if Haney was with Top Rank, you know, the way it works in boxing nowadays is certain promoters are aligned with certain distribution networks. So, since Lomachenko and Lopez are both Top Rank fighters, the promoter Top Rank, and Top Rank has an exclusive deal with ESPN, this is the easiest big fight to make at 135 pounds. That said, it is also the fight people want to see at 135. You know, Devin Haney, absolutely, and some others also enter that equation. But Teofimo Lopez, considering his hand speed and especially punching power, considering the amount of talk his father, Teo's father, who's trained him up since he was a kid, has done about Lomachenko, whose father has trained him up since he was a kid, and considering the obstacle Lomachenko poses, like usually a guy with Teofimo's talent, with his hand speed and punching power, is going to be guided to the title and could be perceived as a dominant champion, whether or not he's actually a great fighter because he is so fast and hits so hard and has good skills that if you match him right, no one would ever really test him, right? Or for a while, you could make it look that way. And instead of that, he's going right to the very top of the division against a guy who can embarrass you. Lomachenko's embarrassed so many guys that, like, I forgot how many it was, like seven in a row, some absurd number of top professionals in a row, including proud multiple-time world champions and Olympic gold medals, quit. He undressed them to the point where in their corner, he started really, really flying their heads, basically. And they were like, oh, man, here it comes. And before the avalanche could come, they were like, nope, see you later. I'm checking out. And quit. Teo's going right for that guy. And he's like a 3-4-1 underdog. Wouldn't be an underdog like that against anyone else in or around the weight class, but is against Lomachenko. But Lomachenko's a natural 126, 130-pounder fighting at 135. Teofimo Lopez is a natural 140 fighting at 35. And by the way, people, when I say natural, every fighter fights in a weight division 20 pounds less than he really should be walking around in. You understand? But I'm talking about fighting weight. And that size advantage for Teo, and the youth is his real chances in the fight. Lomachenko also complimented Teofimo Lopez's boxing IQ. It's not just that Teo is fast and hits hard. He's a smart fighter with good skills. But Lomachenko is considered by many, for good reason, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Two-time Olympic gold medalist, 400 amateur fights, lost once, and beat the guy who beat him that one time twice, and won two gold medals. The one loss on Lomachenko's record came in his third pro fight against a really good title holder at 126 pounds who hit him low about 100 times, and the ref did nothing about it. And Lomachenko had never been past six rounds in his third pro fight, so he wanted to pace himself, didn't turn it on until the end, and when he did, almost knocked him out, Orlando Salido. But nevertheless, lost the decision, third pro fight, that was it, and has been rampaging through the pro ranks since then. So he's lost two fights in his career. One as an amateur in 400 fights. One as a pro. Lomachenko is, if he's not unbeatable, he's the next thing to it. This is a terrific matchup. We'll talk more about it with Michael Thompson in the next hour. Plus, take your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show. ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, say ESPN, 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right. No doubt gambling edition. Let's hear it, Raj.
That's right. That's right. This time we're going to try and take you to Vegas. Get you some money. I get money playing in the back. All right. Here we go. The 4-1 Browns travel to the 4-0 Steelers. Who knew this would be a big game to start the season? Now, Vegas is basically saying it's an even game, so Steelers are getting 3.5 points at home. Browns finally get one, not only cover, but get one in Pittsburgh, Max.
No doubt. I think the Steelers...
No doubt.
No, see, you thought I was going to say nah, son, but I'm saying no doubt. The Steelers, 3.5 point favorites means the odds maker saying they're a little better than the Browns. That may be, but the Steelers don't have a... They're 4-0 without beating a quality opponent yet. They've relied on their defense. Ben Roethlisberger's looked really good for a guy who's been off as long as he has and who's coming back from a catastrophic injury, especially at his age. But he hasn't, like, if you take those qualifications away, he hasn't blown you away, right? It's just with all that you know about what's gone on, you go, wow, and he looks good. Baker Mayfield, they're keeping him under 25 throws a game, and they're trying not to overexpose him. And Kareem Hunt can really play, even without Nick Chubb there. Bottom line is, Baker Mayfield doesn't have to go crazy for the Browns to put up a lot of points. A guy like Odell Beckham Jr. can turn an 8-yard pass into a touchdown. He can take it to the house. He can get yards after the catch. I think that the Browns are due to win in Pittsburgh. I think now's the time.
All right. Like it. Okay, the 4-1 Bears, somewhat of another surprise against the 3-2 Panthers. They stayed afloat even without McCaffrey. And Vegas has the Panthers favored by 1.5, Max. Panthers going to cover?
Nah, son. I think the Bears win outright. I think the Bears have an underachieving defense so far, but they got a lot of talent. And Nick Foles, look, Trubisky's not accurate down the field. Nick Foles usually is, as I keep saying, an average NFL quarterback, which is a good thing to be, who's big in big moments and who guys love to play with, provided he has the right coaching environment, like he did with Chip Kelly originally and later with Doug Peterson, but not with Jeff Fisher, right? He's got his old quarterback coach back. DeFilippo is his quarterback coach again. And it's and by the way, as bad as he looked against the Bucs early, he came on late. I expect him to look good against the Panthers. I expect the Bears to win.
All right, fair enough. Another 4-0 team, the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, you talked about it earlier, goes to Tampa to take on Tom Brady in a 3-2 Bucs. Aaron Rodgers is going to go to Green Bay and show Tom Brady who's boss. Green Bay favored by 1 point.
To Tampa, you mean, and show Tom Brady who's boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeah. Packers are going to win because they have Aaron Rodgers. If you switched quarterbacks, the Bucs would win. Aaron Rodgers, you know, I've said Mahomes is like Rodgers 2.0. Rodgers is playing like he's saying, who's 2.0? He's like, no, ain't no one 2.0 me. It's not clear who the best quarterback. I'll take Mahomes, but Mahomes ain't playing better than Rodgers right now. And what can Mahomes do really that Rodgers can't? Rodgers do everything Mahomes can do. It's just that Mahomes is a little more electric somehow to me. He's like Rodgers and Favre had a baby. You know, like as great as Rodgers' arm is and as accurate as he is, there was something electric about Favre's arm that I see in Mahomes. But in terms of just the results on the field, Rodgers, until I saw Mahomes, I thought he was the best I'd ever seen, and he's reminding me why. It'd be interesting if this era is actually not Mahomes versus Lamar or Deshaun Watson, but Mahomes versus Rodgers to see who really is the best who ever did it. And I don't mean greatest. That's Brady or Montana or someone like that. I mean the best, the way we once thought of Dan Marino or Peyton Manning. But Rodgers and Mahomes are those guys with Super Bowl titles.
All right, last one. Coming off their first loss in, I don't know, a long time, the Chiefs 4-1 take on the 4-1 Bills. Hey, KC shows the Bills who's boss. KC will win by 5 points.
No doubt.
I think
the Bills will be highly motivated, and I think the Bills are a good team. But I think the Chiefs, a motivated Chiefs team especially, ain't nothing to play with. Don't play. I mean, that team is loaded offensively. The defense has got to play better. But even if they don't, Mahomes can overcome that. I think the Chiefs win by a touchdown. Yep. All right, so there it is. Look at that. I remembered, I want to point something out, Raj. I'm 4-0, because it's not even about whether I'm right or wrong. It's whether I remember to say no doubt or nah, son. I remembered every time. Look at me. No doubt. Hate to do it, but I got to go in on a future Hall of Famer, Max Kellerman Show.